This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It's Tuesday, it's the 26th of March, 2024, and today we are reviewing CSUN's Assistive Technology Conference with Michael Babcock.
Ooh! You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
Bow, bow. Hello, Sean Preece.
Bow, bow indeed, Stephen Scott. How are you, sir?
Do you know, I was sitting here before we started, and I have to be honest, I feel a bit kind of anxious today, and I don't know what it is. I know it's bothering me. I think I've just figured it out. I think I know what's wrong with me.
Could it be the 12 cups of coffee you had before we started recording? Do you think that might have anything to do with it?
Listen, when I was lying in hospital a few years ago, yes. I said to the doctor, you know, I drink a lot of coffee. Do you think coffee is my problem? He said, I'm on my 12th. It's not coffee, I promise you. So I said, look, I took the doctor's advice on that one and said, fine, rack them up. So no, it's not coffee. Do you know what it is? I found that my fidget spinner is not on my table.
No. Oh,
I say I can't continue like this.
What about your Rubik's Cube and your, I don't know what else, 80s space hopper?
The squeezy penguin. Remember the squeezy penguin?
Oh, yeah. You had one.
It got a little bit too squeezed. But look, aside that, let's welcome our guest to the show. I bet he's wondering why on earth he's here. Michael Babcock is with us. Michael Babcock, how are you, sir?
Hey. I'm well. So talking about fidgeting, because I got to go back to the conversation about fidgeting.
Obviously.
I am a fidgeter myself.
Thank you.
And a couple of years ago, my wife bought me this Kinex ring, and it's got three gears on it. And what's cool is each band, so it's got two bands, so each band spins independently. So I'll be sitting here with my thumb and just flicking one of the sides of the ring, and it's fidgety, it's spinning, and that's my fidget. The sad news is I broke it and lost one of the gears, and I never reached out to the company, even though it has a lifetime warranty, and now I don't even know where it is. So I might have to go buy another one of those.
I'm with you on this. I kind of feel I need something. And, you know, I used to be in the old days, when I used to work in an actual job, and, you know, I'd sit with a pen. I mean, I never wrote anything in my life, but I'd sit with a pen and just click a pen.
Oh,
that was
a
probably
clicker.
The most irritating. Yeah,
oh.
I was one of those annoying people in meetings.
What a clicker.
Click, 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 click. Yeah, it was said a lot about me. I think that's what they said. listen, you were at CSUN, Mr. Babcock. CSUN's Assistive Tech Conference. Now, of course, this is a huge event. Maybe for people who don't know, tell us a bit about what this thing is all about. Because people hear CSUN, we say CSUN all the time. And it's become like CES, you know. But I do feel there are people in the world who probably don't know what it is, or even realize the significance of it. So could you start there? Maybe give us a bit of a potted history, if you will.
Oh,
so in other words, can you take about 2 or 3 minutes till I find this fidget spinner while you talk?
Yeah, gotcha, gotcha. I read between the lines. You didn't have to say it. Hopefully, some of the listeners did too. I will give you my version of what CSUN is, and I'll probably get some facts wrong. So just start there. So CSUN occurs currently in Anaheim, which is where Disneyland is. So I'll let you forecast what you think the prices for anything is like there. But it is a annual conference that goes on talking about assistive technology. And what's really interesting is they don't just do blindness assistive technology, which I really appreciate, because I learned about some tools that I may have never thought about because they don't directly impact me, and I can be selfish as well. And so CSUN is put on by the, I think it's the California State University of Northridge, I think is what that stands for. I could be wrong on that.
Thank you.
And it was held at a Marriott hotel. There was about 3,000 people is what I heard, maybe 3,500. So not as big as CES, but definitely super busy. And they have talks throughout the week on different accessibility things. Everything this year had the word AI either in the title or the description. And if it dented, it probably didn't belong there. Mm-hmm. And they have some exhibit halls. They had, I want to say 140-ish exhibitors taking up two different rooms in the hotel of vendors showing you what products and services they can produce for assistive technology. And document remediation was very popular there.
Oh, I don't know what that means. Please explain more.
So making sure your PDFs are accessible, making sure your Word documents are accessible. And there was a lot of companies that went out to say, hey, we'll make your documents accessible for a fee.
I love that both Sean and I hesitated to be the one to ask the question, what else is document remediation? But that's interesting. Okay. And like you say, lots of interesting stuff. And we're going to get to some of the interviews that you did. Because look, you were there. I know normally you go along as part of AT guys. You're normally there selling your wares. But not this time round. Make it sound like you're there with a horse and buggy selling off the back of a cart. But, you know, you're there selling various products. I know you were there last year. I remember we talked when you were doing that. But this time around, you were just there for yourself, right? You just wanted to go along and experience it as everyone else does, which is something I'd love to do. But you end up working. That's the problem.
For full transparency, Stephen is mixing CSUN up with the national ACB and NFBs because this was my first CSUN that I had ever been to. And I think JJ may have sold wares there, but I'm not certain. I will say it is a heck of a lot more fun to go to a conference and not work. Hopefully you're not listening, JJ. It's a lot more fun to go to a conference and not work because you can engage with people. You get to engage with some people when they want to buy your stuff too.
Yeah, no, you're right. Do you know what it is? I've got my fidget spinner back now. I'm starting to cool down.
Yeah.
So, you know, the blood is now returning. Back
in. Where was it? Was it on your desk behind your mixer?
So, you know, you used the term full transparency. I've been moving stuff in my office again. I know I shouldn't do it, especially on show day, which is every day, by the way. Not that I'm complaining. No, it's not complaining.
No.
But, you know, as a result, things are not where they usually are. And you know what it's like when you're blind. Moving stuff around is fun, but it's also deeply disconcerting whenever you think, hang on, where's that thing? And, of course, I put the fidget spinner in a safe place in my drawer, which I then obviously moved the entire drawer set. So that's what I had to go off and find.
What a lovely story.
Good.
Can we clip that out and put that on the website?
I thought people might be interested.
We should do a YouTube video on that.
Just on the fidget spinner. Where is Stephen's fidget spinner today?
Well, we all know the reason you went to CSUN, Michael, because there ain't no party like a CSUN party. Hey, is that
good?
That is a true statement that I did not understand until I experienced it, and that is true. I'll just leave it there.
No, but okay. I mean, seriously, because we are going to dive into all the tech side of it, right? But there's a social aspect to this, and to meet up with so many people that we may talk to online virtually, to actually meet up in real life is really cool.
So I met a friend that, and I use the air quotes when I say friend, because I've known him online since 98, and I met him for the first time this year at CSUN. So that was super exciting. You're right. Being able to go and connect with people and talk with people that maybe you have emailed before. It was funny. I was visiting Venkatesh at the Orbit booth, and I'm like, well, it's nice to put a name/person behind the person I've been emailing for 3 years now. So that you're right. It's good to get social and connect with people on a personal level.
Okay, so you mentioned Orbit. There's a good place to start. Obviously, everyone's talking about the new Q40 and Q20 devices. Did you get hands-on?
I did. And I like them. They are interesting. I have not played with the Mantis, so I don't know anything about the Mantis. But with the Q40 and the Q20... at CSUN, they were trying two different keyboard styles. So one on the 40 has a concave-like key. Think of the MX keys, where it's kind of dipped for each key, whereas on the Q20, the keys are flat. I told them I liked the Q40 a lot better just because it made me feel at home like I was using an MX keys.
Wow.
The cells are... similar to the cells that are on the 20 and 20 plus and 40 plus. So if, or not 40 plus, 40. So if noise is important to you, just know that they do have that clicking sound as they refresh. I've grown accustomed to that sound. It's not that loud anymore to me. And the 40 has 48 cells because they didn't want to call it the Q48, I guess. And the 20 has 20 cells.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, 48 cells.
Is that a thing? Being new to Braille displays, is when they say 40 cell, is it always 48 cell?
No, because all the other 40 cells I've put my hands on are 40 cells. I don't know if there's other ones that have done this. One other important thing that I think should be mentioned is the Orbit 20 and 20 Plus do not have cursor routing keys. On the Q20, which is still under 1,000 US, there are cursor routing keys. And that might be worth it for someone to go from the Orbit 20 Plus to the Orbit Q20 for, what's that, $200 more. And that gives you those cursor routing keys if that's important to you.
Well, that's interesting.
Is that important? Again, sorry, I'm coming as a Braille display newbie. Is that important? So what that is...
It is.
Okay, go on.
So let's say you find a word that's misspelled and you have a word that has one extra letter or something. Instead of having to use your arrow keys to navigate 14 characters into your 20-character cell, you can just press the cursor routing key in front of the misspelled, like the extra letter, and then hit backspace and then you're done. So it lets you quickly jump to different points in the Braille that you're reading.
Okay, so it's an efficiency thing. It's a time saver.
Oh, completely. Yeah. I mean, I use that in the Mantis. And it's funny, since getting the Mantis, it has become so valuable because, especially if you're reading a line, like you say, and the amount of times, I think I told you, Sean, about the time I was emailing someone about a book and I actually spelled it OOK, so O-O-K. Yes. And, you know, but the thing was, when you read things or you listen to things through your screen reader, it kind of comes across as... Oh, that was okay, right? But then you put your hands on it and you read it and you're like, oh, hang on, that's wrong. But I was able just to put the cursor on the O and just type B, and that was it. Problem solved, right? So instead of having to, like you say, just arrow your way around, you can very quickly move around the Braille cells. And listen, something that Sean and I were talking about, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but in some of these Braille displays, you can change the firmness of the Braille. Now, obviously, with Orbit Research Braille displays, they are known for having very firm Braille, signage quality Braille, as they call it. Is that something you can change if, for example, it was just a bit too hard for you? Could you soften that Braille? Could you change the firmness of it?
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. I don't know for sure, but I think that's a firmware that the display has to have. And I think Orbit is all or nothing. I have not seen a way in the settings to configure that.
And what about the Orbit Speak? Because, you know, I'd been lamenting on the program that, you know, yes, it's great to see another couple of products from Orbit, but where's the ones they've already promised, like the Speak? Any news?
Yes. So long-time listeners who might have listened to ACB coverage last year know that I was disappointed because I didn't actually get to hear the Orbit Speak. I got to put my hands on some prototypes, but their Orbit Speak was not working at convention, the demo unit they had. I did get to hear the Orbit Speak this year. It's using Google's TTS and Vocalizer, so you can pick one or the other. It's slightly wider than the Orbit Writer, about the same in front to back, and then about the same thickness. There are a couple of extra keys to the left and right of the space bar, and you do have that four-way navigation pad that you have on the Orbit displays and on the Orbit Writer to navigate the interface. They're saying June. I kind of hesitated there because, as we all know, they've said different times over the last couple of years, but they're saying that the Orbit Speak should be shipping in June, and it'll be shipping alongside the Q20 and Q40. I also got to check out the multi-line e-readers. They have a 3-line and a 5-line display. Those were interesting. I could see the value in those. The gotcha with them is they're a little larger than I would like because they have the mechanics of the display in between each line. So it's not like three lines stacked right on top of each other. It's one line, a line about the same thickness as the line of cells, and then another line. And then so there's a lot of unused plastic area, which almost doubles the size that it needs to be.
Quite heavy.
That's a shame. Yeah.
I did not pick them up. I would imagine they're not going to be super light, though.
Yeah, these aren't going to be easily transportable, are they? Because I know the Knut Braille display, the Knut?
Yeah, the Knut from Bristol.
Yeah, yes. That was pretty heavy. I mean, you aren't going to take that on a train with you, that's for sure. It's funny, it takes me back to the days when you used to get Perkins Braillers in wooden cases.
Yes. So Perkins Braillers, Stephen, this is going to make you happy. an item that I don't remember the name of the manufacturer. I can find it if Steven has some money he wants to spend. Mm-hmm. But they have put together a Perkins. They took the body of a Perkins Brailler and added Bluetooth capability to it. So you can use your Perkins Brailler for an input device to device. Yeah. Yeah. And you still get that loudness that you would with a Perkins because you're just writing on a Perkins and it's translating that to Bluetooth and sending it to the device. Funny thing about the party, JJ and I were talking about that device and the guys walked over and go, are you talking about what we made? And and so, yeah, that was pretty cool to chat with them at that event.
I hope you were saying good things about it at that point.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. At least with the volume of the music, all they heard was good things.
Stephen would love that because he loves annoying people.
He would.
He likes mechanical keyboards, the louder the better, just to annoy other people. So, yeah.
Isn't that the ultimate input keyboard for me? The ultimate Bluetooth keyboard?
On a train.
Wow.
On the quiet carriage. Well, no one can say anything.
He can get his lanyard, finally.
Hey, do you know what they should do, right? They should add in the ability to print out onto the Perkins, you know, using the paper. You know, feed in a sheet of paper and you could print out your notes from your phone. Mm. Yeah, but like a portable printer as well.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Get those guys on the phone. Let's get this. Let's go fund me. I'm in. Okay, let's move on to some others because I want to talk about ARX. ARX Vision have had that headset out for a while. The one that's like the bone conduction headset, mm-hmm. very much like Aftershocks or Shocks as it is these days. But the addition of a camera. Now, you get hands-on for the first time with this as well, right?
Yeah, so with this one, I did check out the original ARX, which I think Sean probably has in a cupboard of his as well.
Yes.
That I was just like, okay, that's cool. I really like this. This one I did get to play with, and you can talk to it, and that really had me intrigued. It is still corded, though, so you do still need to connect to a USB-C Android phone right now. They say that there are power restrictions that prevent them from activate or connecting it to iOS, but it looks really intriguing. I don't know if it's something that I would personally buy, but they're looking to target the, and all these prices are US prices. I did not do homework and convert them to Canadian. 800 US though is the target price of them.
Yeah, it has come down a little bit because it was over 1299 US, I think, when it first came out. So, and this is new hardware, right? This is not the same hardware as before. This is brand new. Okay, well, I know you got the chance to catch up with David from RNIB, the Royal National Institute of Blind People in the UK, and you had a chance to catch up with them to talk about this product.
We're calling it the ARX AI headset. Not glasses. It doesn't have any glasses such as the Envision product, which essentially is put around a glass. It's designed to just slide on your head. It has an 8-megapixel camera, which fits on the side, as bone-conducting technology, to allow you to hear the world around you. The main point of this product, I suppose, is to work with apps such as Microsoft Seeing AI and allow you to navigate places you haven't been before. So if you're a white cane user or a guide dog user, although Seeing AI is brilliant, it can be very difficult to use while moving. Certainly, you don't really want to be holding your mobile phone in your hand at the same time as your dog's pulling you one way, or indeed you're trying to navigate a bumpy
and then
street.
Public of the members of the public pulling you another way really makes it difficult for sure. And it looks like it's sized pretty good. The problem with Shocks that I've had in the past with some customers is they're a little smaller, and so that seems like it fit multiple size heads, and it fits on your head just like these Shocks do, right?
Yeah, it's nothing to be proud of, but I have a baseball cap. I discovered my baseball size is size 8, which apparently is the biggest one you can get. So this thing does fit on my head. Now, to make it fit on my head, I've removed the elastic option on the back.
Okay.
Most people would use that and they would be able to adjust it comfortably to fit their own individual head sizes. But, I mean, you're not going to get a much bigger head than mine, physically that is anyway. And it fits me fine, so I'm confident it would fit the vast majority of head sizes. There's always exceptions.
So it's got a rectangle camera on the right side of it that faces forward, correct?
Yeah.
And there's three buttons on there. The circle button, you press once, and that does...
It's like an action button, so it will tell you to do something. So if you want to activate the artificial intelligence on the device, if you're in the right mode, you would hold the circle button down to ask a question. Mm-hmm. You press it gently once to almost process an image, hold it down... secondly, to analyze what that image is. So example I was using, if you go into a restaurant and you're looking at a menu, you can take a picture essentially of the menu, and then you can ask using the artificial intelligence questions to decide what you want. It may be that you're a vegetarian and you want to find what the vegetarian options are. Maybe you only fancy a dessert. Read out the desserts to me.
Or what's the price of the chicken sandwich,
exactly,
which is huge right there, just to get those details.
Exactly. Probably quite expensive if you're buying in Anaheim from what I've seen. But
yes, sir. that's just the nature of Southern California for sure. I'll tell you, I never spent as much on a meal than I have down here. Yeah. Can you play music through it too, or is it only for use with the Seeing AI?
Yeah, well, Seeing AI and indeed the individual app, ARXAI, have their own app, which it works very well with. We're hoping Be My Eyes will be involved very soon as well.
That'd be cool.
The whole point of it is to be open to as many apps as possible and let people use the app they want in the way they want to.
And now here's the uncomfortable question. Does it work on the Blind Shell Classic 2 yet?
Oh, yes, it does, yeah.
Oh, it does? Okay.
It will work. I mean, it works on every phone except an Apple phone at the moment. We would absolutely love it to work on Apple phones because we think Apple phones are really good. They are the most accessible phones out there, but it takes power from the mobile phone, so there is no battery on the headset, so it uses a wire. There are two advantages of having the wire. The main advantage is the data speed allows the artificial intelligence to be a lot quicker and more responsive. It also means you don't have to have a battery on the side of the headset. Some people don't. You don't really want a lithium battery right next to your temple.
No.
Of course, it reduces the weight. The weight is 95 grams, which in my American terms, I'm guessing, is about just under 4 ounces.
Something like that. I'm horrible about math. We'll just say 95 grams.
Yeah. 95 grams, yeah.
So is it available worldwide?
It's available worldwide, yeah. We're looking for organizations to distribute it in the US.
And if we're outside the US or in the US, where do we get it now?
We can get it through the ARCS website or indeed the RNIB website, rnib.org.shop.
So there you go. That is ARX Vision, which is also on sale through CNIB in Canada as well, so you can get access to it there. Sean, version 2, not Apple yet, but it seems to be improving.
Yes, definitely. Look, I would love to try this out because I did try the first one, as Michael said there. And to be honest, it was the software which I felt it just let it down. It never felt quite finished. Now, I'm talking over a year ago, over 18 months ago, at least when I tried it last. So I'm glad that it's still going, and I would like to see where they've gone with this. Now, of course, we've seen AI being released to Android. I think that has changed it a little bit, and this could be very interesting, the wearable aspect of it.
Michael, you've spoken to many companies, and I want to move on to one called GrandCare. Let's listen into your conversation with Scott from GrandCare to learn about this product.
I'm with GrandCare, and GrandCare is a remote monitoring and remote support platform that helps people with disabilities live more independently. And it does that by doing ADL prompts for all the little activities that you want to do during your day. It's time to brush your teeth, it's time to eat your breakfast, it's time to get the mail, all of those things so that you can map out your whole day and have your GrandCare remind you to do those things at the right time. And in addition to that, GrandCare can use wireless motion and door sensors so that your remote support team can be notified if something is wrong, if the front door opens at a strange time, or if there's no motion at a time and place when there should be, or there's somebody's up in the middle of the night. GrandCare can notify those people, and they can do a video call directly into that residence on the GrandCare touchscreen to say, "Hey, Michael, what are you doing out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning? Don't you think you should go back to bed? Do you need help with something?"
I just got home from the party.
Right. Do you need help with something? Right.
Yeah.
And so it does all of that. And there's also all sorts of other great things on here, like games and fun activities for engagement that people enjoy on the touchscreen. And it's completely customizable for every person that uses it. So if you like Monster Trucks, or if you like Metallica, or if you like Clay Aiken, or if you like, you know, Scooby-Doo or whatever it is, you can have all that stuff on your touchscreen. So that when you get it, you know it's yours.
So does it have something for, I'm thinking like older mom who's home alone maybe, for example, and if she falls, is there a way to help with that, or does it not offer those type of services, kind of like the pendant services that you get?
So we don't do any direct fall detection, but we do have motion sensors, and you can do very clever things with those. For example, if there's no motion at a time and place when there should be, that might be a good indicator. See, this is what I used to do with my dad. I had a motion sensor in his kitchen, and I told his GrandCare, if you don't see him by 10 a.m., then I get a phone call.
Gotcha.
And that's it, right? So that's my checkpoint with dad, right? And you can do those throughout the day if you want to. Or if the door didn't open to let out the dog, what's up with that?
Right,
you
know, right.
All those little checkpoints that you can have with somebody.
Those routines are important, especially for people who they have to get things done, and you as the carer need to know, hey, they haven't moved around, they haven't opened the door, they haven't let the dog out. So how can I get more information about these? Do you have a website?
Yeah, please go to grandcare.com. That's GRANDCARE.com. And you can find out all you need to know about us, and you can even chat us up on the website if you'd like to know more.
You know, it's interesting, Michael, because when I was at CES in Amsterdam last year, I remember so many of these companies coming along and talking to me about the kind of products they offer. And ultimately what it's all about is trying to find the best way for people to live alone in their own homes, but have assistance when they need it without it being intrusive. You know, cameras in the house is probably the last thing you want. As a family member, you might feel better because you can see the person, but they don't feel comfortable in their own home anymore. You know, that idea of just having a motion sensor, that's actually a really clever idea. And, you know, not to take it away from GrandCare, but there's lots of smart tools you could buy today that could do a lot of that. You know, you could buy motion sensors easily today and, you know, connect them up to, you know, Wi-Fi or whatever and, you know, get access to that kind of information. So, you know, it's an interesting idea.
It is. And Demasi and I talked about this, and I wonder if you listened to that episode, because that's pretty much what he said, too. One of the nice things about this is it gives you ideas of things to think about. So I'm thinking a wall-mounted iPad with a folder of shortcuts that can perform different actions for you, and that's connected to some sensors, both motion, door sensors, window sensors, all of that sent into Apple Home, and then you can keep all that information. And then if you're wearing an Apple Watch, you have that fall protection as well. So there's a lot of places that someone could go with this setup, and I'm excited that Grandstream is available to share or to make it super simple for someone who just wants to plug and play. But if you're more privacy concerned and you're a tinkerer and maybe you're that tech loving grandkid of your grandparents, you can go put something together on your own that does, if not everything this does, maybe even more.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, stick around. More to come on this as we continue listening to your exploits around CSUN, the Assistive Technology Conference that took place last week. We'll continue with Michael Babcock. Sean Priest also here. As always, it's Double Tap.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap On Air and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. Call the Double Tappers now, 1-877-803-4567, or email us feedback@doubletaponair.com.
And let's continue talking CSUN with Michael Babcock, who was on the exhibition floor at CSUN last week, and he talked to some rather interesting companies. Here is Sam from Overflow.
It works just like a normal slate, but without paper. Yeah. So just here, like, there's a bursa slate, and you can punch on the writing side. Mm-hmm. Then after you finish writing Braille, then you flip it over. Then it is, yeah.
Braille is really crisp and easy to feel on it.
That's right, yeah.
Who is the VersaSlate for? Who do you think the VersaSlate is for?
Maybe three types of users.
Okay.
The first one is, you know, Braille beginner. They can, you know, exercise Braille.
Yeah.
Write and read again. So they exercise writing Braille for a beginner. Mm-hmm. So they can save a paper as well and without hassle.
Yes.
And also the taking a quick memo. So if for the power Braille user, they can take a quick memo versus slates.
Yep.
And also the third user, the third type of user, we intended, this VersaSlate could be useful for the you know, students for math class.
Okay, I didn't think about math class. So write down your equation that you're working on, and then you can flip it over, read that equation, and figure out what you need to do from that point, right?
That's right, yeah. That's exactly right, yeah.
So you also mentioned you had a couple of other things here, too. For low vision users, what else does Overflow have?
We have AI video magnifier and screen magnification and reader. We put all together for one solution.
And is that software you install?
Yeah. We call Flowy. Flowy is working on Windows operating system, 10 and 11.
Okay. And can people download a demo of Flowy if they're interested in trying it out before they buy it?
Yeah, that's right.
And how do they get more information about Versus Lights and Flowy?
Yeah, we have, developed its additional innovative, like an accessory device for Versus Light. We call Versa Printo. So there's sometimes the user want to record the paper, record the, memo.
Yes.
Keep it memo.
Yep.
Then before they start writing Braille, just put the paper. There's a specific designed paper for Versa Slate. Mm-hmm. We call Versa Paper. The paper has two holes, the left side and right side, one each.
Uh-huh.
So it goes to the the clear button on the backside of the Versa Slate.
Yep.
Then there is a Versa Plate. We put Versa Plates on the paper.
Yep, on top of the paper.
Top of the paper, that's right, yeah.
You kind of push it against the Versa Slate and it clicks into place. So you want to feel that click. And then when you flip it over and you start writing, it pokes the holes through the paper. So you can't use the Printo to put Braille on a piece of paper that's already been written on the Versa Slate. You have to do it first, right?
They have to do first.
Yeah. It is pretty cool. Well, Sam, I really appreciate it. What's your guys' website?
We have globaloverflow.com.
Okay.
And Flowy, we have another service site, flowy.kr.
.kr?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Sam. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, now, Michael, I need you to explain that a little bit to me. I'm really struggling to get that picture of that slate in my head. Can you describe it at all?
Certainly. So full transparency at AT Guys, we do sell the Versa slates, and we're working on getting the memo and paper, too, for people who are interested in it. The Versa slate looks just like a regular slate and stylus. It has four lines of 20 cells, so you get 80 cells in total. The biggest difference is it's slightly thicker than a regular slate. It is plastic, so it's not a metal slate. And on the back, there are four buttons on the top and four buttons on the bottom. The stylus magnetically clicks to the right side of the slate when you have it in the writing mode. So that means the side that you would actually write with the stylus on is facing up. And you poke the pins out of the back of the slate. So I call it a blind person scratch pad. If you need to take down a quick tracking number or confirmation number or someone's phone number, pull out your Versa slate, put the text in there, and then flip it over and the Braille is right there. The memo will give you the ability to clip a piece of paper in between the Versa slate and this plate that they have, and it has to be cut specifically to fit that, and that's why they have Versa paper.
Yep.
And then when you take a note, it'll actually put it on that paper as well, like a regular slate and stylus would too.
Very cool. Hmm. Okay. Now you still need to write backwards on this in reverse?
Yes.
That still and freaks me out a little bit, I must say.
Yeah, I'm reaching for my fidget spinner even. Can't even say it, I'm so nervous about the idea of writing backwards. I mean, I can barely write forwards at the moment, and you want me to do this backwards? Come on.
Yeah, they're handy, especially for learning how to do Braille, but I think it would be difficult. Now, I learned how to use a slate and stylus probably 25 years ago or so, and I had already had the basics of Braille down. I don't know that I personally would teach someone how to write Braille on a slate and stylus, because you're right, you're doing it backwards.
Mm. Yes, it's an interesting device, but I mean, certainly for a lot of people, this is something that they love. And I remember when the Versa Slate came out most recently, the most recent version, especially here in the UK, it was sold by RNIB. And the excitement over it was incredible. Way more than I thought. But then I suppose that's the problem with Braille, isn't it? That you can't easily, I mean, if you've got Perkins, that's great. You can whack out a note, no problem at all. Granted, if someone gives you a phone number when
pull
you meet
it out
them,
of your pocket. Yeah.
And exactly. You can't exactly pull out a Perkins Brailler. You know, that's the problem, right? So, you know, this is exactly what this kind of thing is for. Total aside, right? But I saw this on the internet the other day. Yes, the internet. You know that thing?
Never heard of it.
It's going to be the future, apparently.
Won't last.
And very angry people on there. Very angry people around there. But on one particular website, people were nice. And it was all about this device. This is just, I think, unbelievable that this would come out. I kind of like the idea, but I'm also thinking, why? It's called Plaud Note, P-L-A-U-D, Plaud Note. And it's a device, it's a physical device that records notes. So it's a note taker, okay? You think, okay, fine, fair enough. But this thing connects automatically to your phone and it will transcribe those notes for you. Not quite real time, but it will do it fairly swiftly and you'll be able to get those notes available. But you're using an external device to record the notes, and then your phone connects to it and transcribes those notes for you. And the question everybody asked is, why is this not just an app? Why do you need to have an external device? You're going to the app anyway. Why do you need the recorder? What's the point? I haven't actually reached out to the company because I'm intrigued by this.
Because you want one. Of course you do.
Well, I'm kind of just thinking, what is the point here? What are they trying to achieve with this? Because the AI is the brain behind it. That's the whole point of it. And by the way, there's lots of apps that can already do this. I mean, I think in Google phones now, that's pretty much a thing, right?
That it will transcribe the notes. Stephen Scott, leave it alone. I actually think when it comes to the Slate, I can actually see the use case for it. I don't think it's the same as that one at all. It's just the point of maybe beginners at Braille. I could see this being a little bit daunting. It definitely is to me, trying to think how to do it backwards, let alone, you know, to read it afterwards. So
I'm with you. I think this is for people, to me anyway, this is for people who've been doing Braille for a long time,
exactly,
been using this for years.
And in that case, this is brilliant, absolutely so useful, yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd necessarily, I wouldn't think of this as a beginner thing. I don't know. Maybe I haven't tried one, so I'm being unfair, but I just think, I know in my own head what I'm capable of. And I can barely function most days, period. So the idea of asking me to do the thing I've just almost learned backwards, I can't write A to Z backwards. So I don't know if I could do Braille backwards. But anyway, another company that we talked to at CSUN was Sony. And we caught up with them. You have got an amazing story about Sony that I want to get to. But I've been almost teasing this all week, actually, because I'm so excited to talk to you about it. But first, let's talk about some of the other hardware that Sony had on show, the TVs in particular. Here's Melanie from Sony to explain some of the updates to their Android TVs.
Hi, my name is Melanie Mincham, and I'm an accessibility researcher with Sony. And we're here at CSUN 2024 to demonstrate some built-in accessibility features across all of our products. So our first product is our Bravia Sony TV. Our newest model has the most amount of accessibility features, including TalkBack from the initial setup. So that means that a completely blind person can set up the TV independently. We also have the option for people who have low vision of text magnification, as well as color inversion and grayscale. So that can help with increasing contrast for different content, as well as on-screen text. So another feature we have for our visually impaired people on our latest Bravia TV is the Google Voice Assistant. So that means that you don't need a remote to access your favorite shows. So for example, you could say, "Hey Google, open YouTube and play Access Tech Live." So another thing about the TV that can be hands-free, which would be good for both visually impaired and people with mobility impairments, is the built-in camera gestures. So the TV itself comes with a camera, and that means that you can wave your hand in specific ways to navigate through your TV. So you don't need the remote at all, which is really helpful. And all of these features are already built in to the Sony Bravia TV, the latest models that are coming out. And something else that we're rolling out that we're extremely excited because it came directly from our user testing that we've done with blind and low vision individuals, is we are introducing a new raised QR code. So it's a raised outline around a QR code that blind and low vision users can scan with their phone camera and then access all of our instruction manual as well as the key steps to set up their devices.
And you can hear more from Melanie on this week's Access Tech Live, among other interesting companies that you may not be aware of as we feature on the show. Thanks to Tim, who went along for us and covered Access Tech Live coverage for CSUN, which I say you can check out Thursday on AMI TV. But I think the headline there is that the TVs are now able to be set up from scratch on our own. I think that's incredible, actually. It's about time. It's taken, you know, how many years? I mean, when was the TV invented?
But, I don't know. You invented it, didn't you? You invented everything else. Well, at least Scotland did.
Wow. Wow. Is that aggression or passive aggression? I'm trying to work this out.
Or jealousy.
Column A, column B.
Is it also... Michael, are you available tomorrow? I think we might need someone to stand in while Sean goes to see
Mr.
You
F.
Know Who. Yeah, exactly.
Don't listen, Mr. F. Now stop it, because I want to jump in here, because that sounds absolutely amazing. So many things covered there. As you mentioned, Stephen, out-of-the-box accessibility, but the raised QR codes is a really clever idea and really useful. So many times I've just set up like three different sets of mesh routers and, you know, scan the QR code. Where is it? No idea. Having that tactile, absolutely amazing. And yesterday, I turned on the TV for the first time in months and months and months. And of course, the kids had turned off the voice guide on the Samsung TV. So kids. I was going, oh, kids, oh, terrible. Oh, no, get out, leave home, etc. And then when I actually found the remote and turned the voice guide on, why was it terrible? It's such a terrible, bad, annoying voice that I turned it off virtually immediately again. So the fact that, you know, that we're still seeing accessibility in TVs, and it's moving across brands, Sony, LG, Samsung. There's so much choice now. I think accessibility in TVs is really starting to get there. And I'm excited by this.
And it's using the Google text-to-speech voices, because I was standing there looking at some other things at Sony and heard the gentleman demonstrating the TV to someone else. And it seems to be pretty responsive. I'm interested in the tactile QR codes, because I did not know about that. But separately, across the hallway, Amazon was there demonstrating some new packaging that they're working on. And one of the things that they're working on doing is putting dots around QR codes. And I said, it's about time. How many times do we hear there's a QR code here, or not even hear that, but the accessibility information is under that QR code? Because, you know, that makes sense. Let's share information with blind users on a QR code that we don't even know is there.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And that packaging you're talking about, that's the Easy Open packaging, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was quite interesting to learn about, yeah. Now, talk about the dog. You've got to talk about the Sony dog. What is what is this thing about?
So I was standing there listening to someone demonstrate the TV, and I heard this noise off to my left, and I put my hand down, and I'm like, what is this? And the guy walked up and said, this is, and I forget the name of the dog. But I'm like... Oh, Aibo. This is Aibo. And I'm like, I've never heard of this. Apparently, it's been around for a couple of years now. And it is a small, I tell people, it's like a puppy lab, like a Labrador puppy. It's super small. It is all over the place. It runs around, and it can be trained. So you can pet it, and it really likes to be pet. You can also scratch it under your chin, but if you stop, eventually it'll grab your finger and put it in your mouth, at least, or in its mouth. And that's what it did to me. And kind of bit down, but there was no teeth at all. And it likes to be scratched behind the ears. I told the gentleman there, I'm like, you know, this would be nice if it had some fur, because it's a little creepy. It's just this plastic robot that moves around. $2,800. I did go look at the price of them, US, and it might be good for someone who just needs a companion, maybe someone with some cognitive difficulties, or someone who just doesn't want the responsibility of feeding a dog. Although, while doing some research, I found out that there's an app you can connect to your Aibo and feed the dog with the app. So you can feed it and give it food. And then you can also meet other Aibo users in the app, and your Aibo and those Aibos can virtually become friends. Very interesting.
Weird.
I'm not spending $2,800 on it.
I honestly could have done a whole show.
What you're going to say, just, Stephen?
What am I going to say? I'll tell you what I'm going to say. My wife was instantly hooked when I told her about this. She was looking at it. She's seeing the accessories. You can buy the food bowl, the water bowl. You could even buy a bone for it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, part of me was like, if that was $500, I'd probably buy that. Because
do you remember Neopets?
No, that does ring a bell. Yes, that does
Back
ring a bell.
Back in the 90s, there were these digital pets that you could carry around on a keychain, and yes, they would have lives. This is kind of what it reminds me of, is like the 2024 version of that, but you actually have a physical thing in real space to play with. You're right. $500 probably maybe might, but not $2,800.
No, especially if you're going to buy two of them. I mean, this is what makes me laugh. They brought out the new, I saw this, they brought out the espresso edition. There's one called Strawberry Milk, which my wife fell in love with. I guess that's the color.
Are you sure these are dogs? You weren't looking at the takeaway menu here. What are you talking about? Okay.
I think this is an interesting idea. I really do. I know you think this is ridiculous, Sean, but I think there's people in this world who would really enjoy that. And without having the need for an actual pet, right?
All right, just to be serious for one second.
Yeah, okay.
Because I've seen
this. Let's be serious about
it. Let's be serious here, Stephen Scott, because I've seen that this has been around for over a decade. I am sure the first Sony robot dog was released. And since then, there's been so many different toy versions of this, right? But the thing is, how much... Doesn't it become very, it can do this, it can do this, and it can do this, but then you soon get bored with it. It's not truly learning all the time. It's not truly autonomous. There is just a limited amount of things it can do, you know, scratching under the chin. I'm sure there's just some sort of touch sensor there. And I'm just not convinced that it is as, I just think it's very limited playtime with it. There, I've said it.
I think my dogs would love to have playtime with it. They absolutely hate that RoboVax. I'm just wondering what they do with this.
I think it's, you're right. It has to do more. And I think it's like AI in itself, isn't it? That we've kind of gotten to that point where we can ask it to write a news article, or we can ask it to write a blog post, or we can ask it to come up with a bullet point list of something. And it does it, and that's great. But now we want it to do more than that. And yeah. I think with this kind of technology, it's the same. It kind of has to get to the next level. What I am interested with this is that the marketing is for adults. This is unusual. Normally, like you say, normally these kind of things are brought out for kids. And it was kind of refreshing to see them talk about adults. Because, you know, I don't have kids, right? And every single thing that goes on in life seems to be geared around kids. And I'm like, what about us? What about adults?
Yeah,
fidget spinners. What about older people?
Yeah. Yo-yos.
Right, that's all I get.
Maybe someone living in an apartment, because they did talk in the marketing material about how you can actually train Aibo to meet you at the door. And that's some things people who have dogs really like. Also get frustrated with is their dog's always there waiting for them at the door. So it's interesting, you're right, how they are targeting this at adults and who can play with them for sure.
Couple more companies to mention before you go. One is Sorensen. Let's hear from Josh.
We work at Sorensen, so we offer interpreting services for the deaf. We provide, we're one of the largest providers for interpreters throughout the U.S. and throughout the world.
Okay.
We offer in different languages, so it really sets us apart. The greatest thing is our new app, and that's kind of what, you know, what we want to talk about is that new app is great because what's amazing is any deaf or hard of hearing person can come in with their cell phone, they can scan this QR code, and with that QR code, it'll actually pull up a live interpreter anytime they want. So they have that app, they just push a button, and now it allows them to be able to talk to anybody they want without an interpreter next to them. So that's the cool thing. That's the fun thing.
Yeah. How does someone find that app?
Yeah, so I have this, it's throughout the hotel here, but I have this card I can give you.
Okay.
I'll grab it for you. It and that card, they just scan the QR code, and it works. So okay. Marriott's the one that provides the service as far as paying for it, which makes it to where while you're here, it's unlimited all you can use.
Gotcha. And then when you're not here, you just pay a monthly fee? Or?
Yep. So a lot of times the nice thing, though, is most businesses pay for it. So like example, Starbucks. Starbucks is our client. So if you walk into Starbucks right now, you can scan their QR code as a deaf person, and then a live interpreter pulls up. So now I don't have to just text what order I want. I can actually have full conversations with these people. So it's amazing.
Yeah, what it's doing. It is. But if I wanted to as a consumer, I can pay you to use it in places that don't offer that service?
Yeah, so we have, and that's another one. So the one I'm seeing is Express. The other one is called a VRI or VRS. So VRI is video, and yes, it's the same type of thing. They can pull up an interpreter. You can actually have face-to-face conversations, and that's more on the consumer side. So we offer both.
Okay. This sounds like, I imagine you're familiar with Aira.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like Ira for...
But for the blind community. Yeah. 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 Ira is just down the... You're about three booths away from them.
Okay. Well, perfect. I appreciate it. Yeah. So if I wanted more information and I don't have one of those cards, how do I get more information about what you guys do?
You can go to Sorensen.com. It's really easy. You can find us here, obviously. I can give you a card, so if you want to find some more information.
And for the spelling challenge, like myself, how do you spell Sorensen?
S-O-R-E-N-S-O-N.
Beautiful. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you betcha.
And you also got hands-on with an interesting product from Patriot, and you talked to LaDressa.
It's called the Patriot Voice Easy.
And how much is the Patriot Voice Easy?
It retails for $2,595.
Okay. And what it is it's a device with three knobs on it. The left one is the speed, the middle is the
rewind
and fast forward, and the right is the volume.
Yep.
LaDressa made a comment about how quickly I picked up on using it because we played with it. I'm going to demonstrate real quick the voice capability of it.
Please put the document on the reading surface.
Automatically, without me doing anything.
Visilux Digital XLF HD. Get Lure. The Visilux Digital XLF HDTS, an advanced portable video magnifier that features a 12 TFTL.
Excellent.
Visilux Digital XLF HD 4.
And tell us real quick, LaDressa, A, how to find you guys, and B, what other quick magnification things you guys have.
Yeah, sure. So you can either call us at 1-800-364-1608. And we also have a website that you can go to with all of our products in there. It's patriotvision.com. And we have digital handheld magnifiers, all-in-one CCTV video magnifiers, assistive readers, and video wearables as well. So we have technology for low vision and fully blind.
And I'm really intrigued by this reader. It's really fast.
Yes.
And the speech is super clear, too.
Yes.
Is that the only voice that it has, or does
it have... No, it could actually change to a woman's voice as well.
Uh-huh.
And another feature, it can read in Spanish.
Oh.
So it can actually translate. If you put English underneath of it and put it on the Spanish mode, it can read it in Spanish.
Okay, so it just does real time. Is it as fast as...
Yeah, so let me show you. So you would push down first and second button together.
Voice is set to English. Samantha.
So there's Samantha, and then I'm going to press it again.
Voice is set to English. Angelica.
So there's Angelica. Angelica is the Spanish-speaking person into the machine. And then I'm going to go ahead.
Please put the document on the reading surface.
So she just said in Spanish to put a document underneath. And then I'm going to go ahead and put that same document down.
It takes a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's
going to
take a little bit longer because it's like processing the
transcription. HD Solux Digital XLF
HD. It beeps so you know what it's doing.
Yes.
And then you know that it's taking action. You also mentioned, LaDressa, that you can put a USB drive in there and it captures a JPEG text and the MP3. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So you can listen to the documents that you scan at a later time, or you can plug it into your computer and view the document as a full image.
And does this fold up, or is it?
It doesn't fold up, but it does have a carrying case that's very easily portable.
Okay, so it can be portable.
Yes.
It looks like it's intended for desktop use, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
For someone that just wants something in their home, throw their mail on, magazines, books, and whatnot. Yep.
Well, perfect, LaDressa. Thanks for this chat, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Such an interesting mix of companies that you were getting a chance to talk to. What was the standout one for you? Anything that really stood out that you think, you know, from your point of view, you might either buy or you might look into?
I got to put my hands on Envision glasses for the first time. For me, that was pretty cool. Really had me intrigued by those. Glidance, we didn't talk about that today. I got to play with it and actually use it. I see the potential in that and where that can go. Out of the ones that we talked about, though, that device from Patriot Vision was really nice to be able to just put a piece of paper under a camera, have it take the picture automatically without you having to like move the device around. The paper just sits there and then it reads to you. I wouldn't pay the $2,500 for it, though, just because you can do all of that with an app, but I definitely see the value in being able to just throw a document down, have it snap a picture, and then you get that document read to you.
And I have one final question for you, Michael, and it's a very important question, because when you go to CSUN, it seems like rite of passage to have a conversation with Stevie Wonder. Did you manage to have a conversation with Stevie Wonder?
I did not, but Stevie Wonder gave a speech at one of those offhand parties I was at. So I did get to experience that.
Well,
you were at
a
party with Stevie Wonder.
Yes, I can say that. My wife's comment is, he talks way too slow.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Stevie, if you're listening, I don't know this man. Listen, it's been great catching up with you. Thank you so much for coming on. There's so much, I'm sure, more we could discuss on this. So come back soon and tell us more about what's on your mind, because there'll be more things that you'll think about, I guess, you know, because it was the first time you were there, a great opportunity to meet people, a great opportunity to catch up with some interesting companies. And I guess just a great place to be. We're hoping to get out there for the 40th. That would be so cool to get out there and do the show there for the 40th anniversary, which is next year, of the CSUN event. So, thank you not only for coming on today, but also thank you for gathering all those recordings for us as well. That means a lot, and I'm really glad we were able to catch that. Just remind people where people can listen to your thousands of podcasts.
I've narrowed it down to two. If you want to listen to us, find Unmute Presents for all your technology knowledge, and technically working for a very in-depth truth and honest conversation about technology for small business owners. And they're available in your favorite podcast app. It was fun. Listen to yesterday's Kelly and Rumia replay for my initial thoughts on the Glidance and actually playing with it as well.
And also, just remind people, because I've been getting a few people asking how to sign up for Club Unmute, especially the Reaper course that everyone's interested in. So how can people do that?
Unmute.show. There's a link right there. It's easy as that. Pretty simple to find it. Yep, wow. as easy as that.
We should do that.
Yes.
Just like instead, what you do is you go to doubletaponia.com/https/ etc.
$100. Yes.
.jpg. Listen, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Michael, as always. Sean, it's been a huge amount of fun learning about CSUN this week. We will, of course, be back tomorrow with all of your feedback, because there's so much feedback. Yeah, there is. The inbox is crammed full. Laura has been working overtime to keep up with your emails. So we're going to get into those tomorrow and on Thursday as well. We'll catch you next time. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.